Great to see you guys tonight, and so excited about tonight. What a great week this is. As we had Palm Sunday, see the Lord ride into Jerusalem, and we talked about that last Sunday, and then we kind of look at all the days this week. Hopefully, some of you guys are following what we did online there. You can go on our website, and I kind of put on there each day of the week kind of a small synopsis of what happened during the week. And then now coming to tonight, where we're going to celebrate what the Seder meal was like from a Jewish perspective. And again, this would have been when the Lord got with his disciples, he would have done what they call the Seder or the Passover meal, representing the Passover lamb, again, that they celebrated every year, dying, you know, and being sacrificed for their sins, Jesus being that Passover lamb. And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight, and we're going to be hearing it from a Jewish perspective, walking through that. It's going to be quite the treat, I believe, and the insight we're going to get from just seeing the Lord Jesus in the midst of the Seder meal. You're going to be shocked at how the Jewish population doesn't just grab onto it, but again, it just shows, again, without your eyes being open, you can't see. But it's so clear, and it's going to be so wonderful, and so I'm excited about tonight. So I don't want to take too much time now. I want to go ahead and just kind of pray for us, and then we'll get it started and turn it over to Lauren after that, and he'll take us through the rest of the evening, and then we'll finish tonight with communion. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for tonight. I'm so excited, Lord, about celebrating you. This is about you. You are our Passover lamb. You laid your life down for us, and Lord, you've given us not only your body and your blood and forgiveness through the cross. You've given all the imagery, Lord. You've built it into the very world we live in. Lord, through the actual Passover and Seder meal, Lord, we're going to see you and what you've shown to your people, the Jewish people, and also now us, the Gentiles that have joined in and been grafted in. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to show us and how you're going to minister. And I pray tonight that it would be more than just a history lesson or more than just understanding the Seder meal. I pray communion would start right now. Let the communion continue as it already began in the worship. Let the communion now continue through celebrating the Seder or Passover meal. And then let us, Lord, take the actual communion in the elements to celebrate and remember what you did in your body and in your blood. And so we look forward to what you're going to do tonight, Lord. Fill this place with your spirit. Show yourself to us. Make yourself known tonight even more than you've already done. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has set us apart by his word, and in whose name we light the festival of lights.
So, hello and welcome. Glad you could join us. As light for the festival of redemption is kindled by the hand of a woman, we remember that our Redeemer, the light of the world, came into the world as this promised seed of a woman. Okay, so tonight is going to be a little bit different. I want to first find out how many of you have not been to a Messianic Passover. If you have not been, wow. Okay, so quite a number. Okay, so a little disclaimer. Passover is really, really fun. I want you to understand how much fun Passover is. We have a Dutch apple pie without the crust. We have hide and seek. We have chocolate. We have lots of wine. And then for those four of you in here that like math, there's a lot of math, so see me afterward. And we have shofars. So Psalm 81:2, blow the shofar at the new moon and at the full moon on the day of our feasts. So see, it's going to be fun. First of all, I wanted to offer just a little bit of a disclaimer here. First of all, every single element of Passover of the Seder is not exactly the same if you've been to one before. And I know it's shocking, but Jews don't always think alike. So if we've heard about where there's three Jews, there's four opinions, that's actually true. I want you to be able to relax. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of moving parts, and you don't have to take notes or feel like you're gonna miss it, because there's a QR code at the end, so you can have the whole presentation and all the notes. Okay, so we're gonna go fast. We wanted to try to give you a hybrid, so it's not just the Seder. We're going to do that, but I wanted to give you a background of Hebrew biblical culture and worldview, okay? So that's important because the Bible is a Jewish book about a Jewish wedding, and it's written to mostly Jewish people by mostly Jewish writers, so that's significant. And I also want you to keep in mind that to look at it more like an appetizer. The goal is to whet your appetite that you would want to know more. So whether you know a lot about the feast or nothing, that's okay. So for some of you know something about Jewish culture, you would say, well, Lauren, there's a menorah for Hanukkah, and that's not right. You would be correct. You would never see a menorah for Hanukkah at Passover. So this is for the dedication of the temple in the winter, but this is for a teaching purpose. So all the menorahs, they all are visual tools that point forward to Christ, okay? So we're gonna get started. Again, think of it as an appetizer that hopefully that you would want to know more. We're gonna see Christ in the Passover, but it's really so much more than just the Passover. I wanna give you the big picture. So if you get stressed or feel overwhelmed, just blow the shofar and think of Southwestern egg rolls. Okay, so why is it important? I'm glad that you asked. It's so important when we see the scripture through the biblical lens of Jewish culture. It strengthens our faith in God, God's sovereignty. It reaffirms the reliability of his word, and it makes us better Bereans. It makes what Pastor Mark and Pastor Jason, it makes it all make sense. Okay, so that's what I want you to keep in mind. And two examples right here. Last week, Pastor Mark was talking about Joshua. Joshua is the same name as Jesus. Joshua and Jesus, it's salvation, okay? And Mark was talking about how they crossed over from the Jordan River, okay? But get this, on exactly the day they crossed over the Jordan was Nisan 10. And in Jewish culture, Nisan 10 is huge. Nisan 10 is the day that the lambs were selected. So on the exact moment, another one is that on the exact moment that Jesus was on the cross, it's a full moon because the Feast of the Lord are all based on a lunisolar calendar. So on the exact moment and the exact day that the lambs were slaughtered in the temple, Jesus Christ was on the cross and became our perfect Passover lamb. Amen? Okay, another amazing thing, another connection is that Jesus and Joshua were 1,400 years apart, and they both used the same exact two lunisolar calendars. And so did David, and so did Paul, and so did all the gospel writers. And it's not the Gregorian calendar. So that's something to... just something to keep in mind, how when you understand the Hebrew worldview, things just seem to make sense. So we're going to go through, here's your kind of your cheat sheet. Another example why there'd be some differences is because different Jews, different rabbis, different pastors, they use a different Haggadah. You got a Haggadah? I got a Haggadah. The Haggadah is your outline. It's your framework that guides us through all the steps. So this is your Haggadah for you. We're going to follow along. We're going to go through all of those quickly, but we're going to specifically focus in on the middle one, number four, which is very, very significant for us as believers, number 12 and number 13. The thing I wanted to let you see real quickly is how the menorahs even point to Christ. So here we have a Hanukkah menorah, and this one has eight. And you can say, Lauren, I think it's nine. You're right. The middle the candle is called the helper. It's the servant. So even the Hanukkah menorah points to Jesus. Okay. And then we have this one, the regular seven-branch menorah. Most Jewish families, they're going to have these two right here. We got blue and white, the colors of Israel. And also you have the two branches that are grafted in together. You've got Israel and you've got the church. So you've got these two candles. And this is what would be lit on Sabbath and on Passover. On regular Sabbath days. Okay, so there's our steps of the Seder. Then we have some key Hebrew words. What I want you to take away tonight, two big things. I want you to go away with a completely different understanding of Moed and Moedim. This is arguably maybe the most important word for all Christians, for believers. Moed, this is when Genesis chapter 1, when on the fourth day when God made the sun and the moon, he said that it put it in the sky for signs and seasons. And that word seasons, it's not like spring, summer, fall, and winter, okay? That word is literally Moed. It's the appointed times. And that word is literally translated as dress rehearsal. Isn't that amazing? All the feasts are unique from all other cultures of the world in that the feasts of the Lord all point forward to future events. They all do. And from the moment that he gave the people of Israel the feasts, they all pointed forward. On Passover night, remember, they were still slaves when the death angel came through. So they all point forward to Christ. Shabbat, all the feasts of the Lord are Shabbat plus the weekly Shabbat. Hanukkah, a feast of dedication. Seder, the word literally means order. So this is the 15 steps. Haggadah, like I said, you got a Haggadah, I got a Haggadah. I got four. So this is the scaffolding, the framework. Afikomen is the Greek word for dessert. It literally means that we look forward to. Okay, and that's very significant. Also means I came. Matzah, just literally is the word for unleavened bread. And that's significant because leaven is a picture of sin. So before they did Passover, Jews go through their house and their storage areas and their barn and their basement, and they clean out all the leaven. And it's a picture of cleaning out sin of every part of our lives. Okay, and Dayenu, it would have been enough. And you're going to have a part in that as well. We want to try to make it as interactive as we can and then give you these pictures. So again, a visual picture, Passover a couple days ago, and then unleavened bread the very next day. We're in unleavened bread right now. So 7 days, unleavened bread, and then first fruits, the resurrection, Pentecost. And then you have the summer, and then you have trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles in the fall. So all of these together, all these seven feasts, it takes, this is a span of 6 months. Okay, and it corresponds exactly to the Hebrew agricultural cycle. It corresponds. So you've got the harvest and it goes for 6 months. And so Passover is exactly 6 months from Feast of Tabernacles. So this is why Passover is always on a full moon. Again, because God's feasts are based on a lunar cycle. Okay, so we're right here today. We're in the week of unleavened bread. And one of the things I want to share with you is a little bit about grace. We don't do this because we have to. We do this because it gives us a deeper understanding of Scripture. And it's all about grace. It's because of grace that we can actually go home on Easter Sunday and have ham. That's because that's grace. Okay, so as a Jewish Christian, I don't have to use Google Maps. But I don't like wandering around for 40 minutes or 40 years, right? So it's a blessing to us, okay? So the next one that I want you to take away that it's so amazing, it's so exciting, is this connection between Passover and the flood. Again, it's all connected, okay? So the flood is all about redemption of God's people and destruction of the wicked. Passover is all about redemption of God's people and destruction of the wicked. See a pattern here? It's all connected. So the other thing that's why it's so significant is a lot of confusion about end times, particularly because people do not understand a Hebrew culture, okay? So in Hebrew culture, it's one harvest and it's three distinct phases, okay? Say it with me. One harvest, three distinct phases. So the first one starts, it goes through the spring. It goes all through the spring, goes into the summer. We've got the grains, the barley, wheat, rye. And then the fall, we've got the fruits. We got grapes, figs, and olives. And the amazing thing, these are the things that all symbolize Israel. Isn't that amazing? And then we've got this next one, special tribute, special honor to Pastor Mark. You probably recognize this slide, the book of Ruth. So Ruth is connected to Passover. Passover is connected to prophecy, okay? So sometimes you just need to see it in a different way. So you've got three phases of the harvest. You've got first fruits, and these are all clearly in Scripture. Then you got the main harvest, and then you got the gleanings, what is left behind. And the barley harvest, it's the beginning of barley. And so the word in Hebrew for the first month literally means ears of barley. And God ordained it so that the Passover is always in the spring. And Passover is always when the sun is in the constellation of the Lamb. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Jesus, our Passover Lamb. Okay, so now we're going to jump right into the steps, the elements of Passover. Sometimes we've got them up here. You can't see it too well. If you look at it on the screen, it doesn't look too appetizing. But it is, it's good. So we got matzah, unleavened bread. We got 4 cups of wine. Like I said, lots and lots of wine. In a Passover, this would not be little communion cups with grape juice. You're gonna drink a lot of wine. And then you have the 5th cup that is Elijah's cup. So this plate is and this seat and this place, this is reserved for Elijah. They're expecting Elijah who comes before the Messiah. So 4 cups of wine, these are connected with specific promises that God gave to the children of Israel. Okay, we've got salt water that represents the tears. We've got the Seder plate with 6 elements. You've got the roasted egg, nothing connection whatsoever at all to Easter egg. This represents newness of life. And at Passover, the children of Israel were reborn. Then you have the bitter herbs, horseradish. You have harset, which is, again, like your grandma's Dutch apple pie without the crust. It's really delicious. I've got the recipe for it in the slide. So if you like a Dutch apple pie, that's the harset. And then the shank bone. The amazing thing about this, the word in Hebrew for this, zeroah, it's literally its arm. That's the word. So God, at Passover, he redeemed his people by his outstretched arm. And Jesus Christ on the cross had his arm stretched out for us and became the Passover lamb that paid for the sins of the world. And so you've got the... then you got the romaine lettuce. That's another vegetable that nobody likes. So then we've got the 4 cups of wine here. We'll jump into that. These are, again, 4 cups of wine that all directly relate to promises that God has made to his people. So the first one, you've got sanctification. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Number 2, a deliverance. I will rescue you from the bondage. Number 3, the cup of redemption. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Number 4, the cup of praise. I will take you as my people and I will be your God. And the fifth cup, again, right here, if you can see it, this fifth cup is the cup of Elijah. So normally this plate would be empty. There'd be a chair. There would be an empty plate and a cup of wine for Elijah. Okay, so a lot of repetition, a lot of precision, and a lot of symmetry in the Hebrew worldview. So repeats over and again. It's like a spirograph. So, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. So here we would drink from the first cup. The cup of redemption is consumed after the blessing. This significance, these four cups of wine that come from the promises of God. And again, they would drink that full cup of wine. So then the next step, erchatz, washing of the hands. So the leader would wash the hands, and then they would have the towel, and they would pass the bowl and the towel to all the people present. And the significance of this is a spiritual cleansing and preparation, and believers in Messiah reflect on Yeshua washing the feet of the disciples, a profound act of humility and servanthood. Then we have karpos. You've got the green vegetable. And this, again, represents newness of life in the spring. And we dip the vegetable in the salt water, and we dip it twice. And the first time we dip it in, and it represents the tears of slavery. And you'd eat that one. And then the second one, they dip it in the second time. And in most seders, they would say that this represents the Egyptians drowning in the ocean. So that's a strong picture for you. Some people feel like it's a little morbid. And as believers in Messiah, it points to the tears Yeshua shed as he interceded for us in Gethsemane. Okay. Then you have the prayer again. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And the green vegetable symbolizes spring and renewal, while the salt water reminds us of the tears shed in Egyptian slavery. For Messianic believers, it points to the tears Yeshua shed as he interceded for us in Gethsemane. Step number four, very, very, very significant. The most significant step of the entire Passover. Guys, there's so much going on in here. It's just exciting. First of all, number four is very significant in Judaism. And it's very significant in the Passover. You have four cups. You've got four questions. And then you've also got in the normal Seder, you would have four different kinds of children. So four is very significant. But four is also significant in the Bible. In the fourth letter of the Greek alphabet is dalet, and the word is literally door. And Jesus said, I am the door, and I am the bread. Even the Seder that they created, the order of the Seder points to Jesus Christ. You can't make it up. So then you have matzah, and you have matzah, and as you can see here, matzah, it's pierced and it's broken. And you can even see that there's stripes. When they bake it, it even creates stripes. So matzah is, it's pierced, it's broken. Matzah is wrapped in linen cloth. And significantly, there are three pieces of matzah. Why three? Jews to this day around the world do not know. They don't know why there's three. They will tell you there's all kinds of different theories. Mostly they will say, well, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe, but it's also, what about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? The Trinity right there. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, okay? So they take the middle matzah, not the first one, not the third one. They take the middle matzah, and the middle matzah is broken in, it's broken in half. So we have our three pieces of matzah. They take the middle matzah, and the body of Christ, and they break it. And this larger piece of matzah, this one is actually wrapped up in a linen cloth. And it's hidden away. I forgot to tell you that in Passover, we even have hide and seek. So, I mean, there's so much fun. So the matzah is wrapped up, and it's hidden away. And then they'd have a hide and seek. Normally at the Seder, the children, they would actually go and hide and seek. So this is partly why a Seder can be a 3-hour tour. So they're going to do a hide and seek. The middle one is taken. The matzah is hidden away. The matzah is found and a ransom is paid. Hallelujah. Right? All right, so the ransom is paid. And as Jesus was on the cross, as he was dying and he was giving his last breath on the cross, his last utterance, his very last words was tetelestai. His very last words. And archaeologists and historians have concluded that this does not mean it is finished. I'm sorry if that's what's in your Bible, it's what's in mine. It's a terrible mistranslation. It literally means paid in full. That's what it means. It's a term from accounting. It means your debt is paid in full. Hallelujah. So he said tetelestai, and he paid our ransom with his blood. Okay, so the next one, we've got some helpers here. Step number 5 is very significant because the step number 5 is the telling of the story. It recounts how God's faithfulness, how he brought them out of Egypt and delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians. So the matzah, again, it was broken in half. You remember this one? This one would be taken away, and this one would be hidden. And so this is, I'm going to introduce our helpers. We've got Elijah, and we've got Samuel, and we've got Opal. Can we give him a hand? Okay. So Elijah's going to take this, and they're going to play like they're going to do hide and seek. But we're not really going to hide it. We're not going to wait for that, but that's part of that. So thank you, Elijah. He's going to come back again. We'll see Elijah again. Okay, so Samuel and Opal. And this is significant, guys. This is the reason that Passover has been done basically the same way for thousands and thousands of years, almost 3,000 years. It's the oldest holiday on planet Earth that's been continually celebrated by the same group of people. Isn't that amazing? And the reason that they do that is because they take the youngest child and they have them ask the questions. That's how they preserve this tradition that's the same, by having the children ask the question. So the first one is really a setup question for the others. So tonight is different from all others because we remember that our people were slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh, and our God brought us out with strength and the might of his hand. If God had not brought us out, we would still be slaves in Egypt today. And in preparation for our redemption for our Messiah, the slaying of the Passover lamb would not have taken place. Okay. Very good. So, in case you didn't get that, on all other nights we eat bread or matzah. On this night, why do we only eat matzah? So matzah reminds us of how the Israelites didn't even have time to let the bread rise to add yeast to their dough as they fled from Egypt.
Other nights, we eat all sorts of vegetables. Why on this night, we only eat bitter herbs?
Okay, very good. On all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables. On this night, why do we only eat bitter herbs? So the marer reminds us of the bitterness of the bondage of slavery. We also remember that Messiah, our Passover lamb, set us free from the bondage of sin. And you see the connection Mark was talking about in Ruth. Mara is bitter. Remember, that's Mara. That's a horseradish that's on your plate. See that connection? It's all connected. Okay, the next one. Say, go ahead.
Our nights, we do not dip our vegetables even once. Well, in this way, you dip our vegetables twice.
Very good. On all other nights, we do not dip our vegetables even once. On this night, why do we dip twice? We dip twice, first as a symbol of replacing our tears of joy, and second, to sweeten the taste of bitterness, knowing that Yeshua is our sweetness in the bitter times of life.
On all other nights, we eat sitting or reclining. On this night, why do we only recline?
Okay. Awesome. Give him a hand, guys. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Samuel. Okay, so that last one, on all other nights, we eat our meals sitting or reclining. On this night, why do we only recline? Reclining is a symbol of the free man. And military people can't eat reclining. Slaves definitely cannot eat reclining. So we pretend we're royalty. So on this night, we recline on pillows as a symbol of our freedom. So the next part is a part that you'll help me with. And again, we want to try to make it as interactive as we possibly can. So this is, again, part of the step number 5, where we're recounting God's faithfulness and bringing us out of Egypt. So it's significant to know that every one of the plagues directly targeted one of the Egyptian gods. If you think about that, I mean, that is incredible. And the Egyptians believed that if all their gods failed, then at the very last, if everything else failed, then what they could do is they could make a sacrifice of the firstborn. And God said, no. God said, there's none like me in all the earth. Amen? There's none like me in all the earth. So what we do in the next one is I want you to call out together. I want you to call out the plagues. And then we take our pinky and we dip in the wine and we drop it on the plate as a reminder that our cup is less full because of the sacrifice of others. So first one. And then we partake of the cup, the second cup, with the reminder that, again, our joy, our fullness is less because of the sacrifice of others. And then this part of the step 5, I want you to be able to repeat together out loud. This is Dayenu. The word Dayenu literally means it would have been enough. And this is so important, guys, to be able to share God's faithfulness to your children. It's so important that we do that. And so I'm going to read the ones, and after each one, then you're going to say out together, Dayenu, okay? Had God brought us out of Egypt but not executed judgment against the Egyptians, it would have been enough. Had God executed judgments against them but not upon their gods, it would have been enough. Had God executed judgments against their gods, but not slain their firstborn, it would have been enough. Had God given us their wealth, but not split the sea for us, it would have been enough. Had God, had God led us through on dry land, but not drowned our oppressors in it, it would have been enough. Had God drowned our oppressors in it, but not provided for our needs in the desert for 40 years, it would have been enough. Had God provided for our needs in the desert for 40 years, but not fed us the manna, it would have been enough. Had God fed us the manna, but not given us the Sabbath, it would have been enough. Had God given us the Sabbath, but not brought us to Mount Sinai, it would have been enough. Had God brought us to Mount Sinai, but not given us the Torah, it would have been enough. Had God given us the Torah, but not brought us into the land of Israel, it would have been enough. Amen. Thank you, God, for all the favors you have bestowed upon us. You led us out of Egypt, slavery and oppression. You brought the plagues against the Egyptians. You slew the firstborn, and you brought us their wealth. You split open the Red Sea. You then drowned our oppressors. Thank you for taking care of us in the desert for 40 years. You fed us manna. You gave us the Sabbath. Then you brought us to Mount Sinai to give us the Torah and your commandments. Thank you, O Lord, our God, for bringing us to the land of Israel, making us a great nation. So next we have number six. Just give me a second. So six is the second washing of the hands. So there's a lot of hand washing in Jewish culture. And this is reminiscent of the full immersion ritual bath. It was nothing new. Baptism was not a new concept at all. It was actually a mikvah that every Jewish person knew, a total immersion ritual cleansing bath. So they totally understood that concept. So when you think about, Jesus or John the Baptist introduced the concept of baptism. No, they didn't. The Jewish people completely understood the ritual bath. He made another connection with it as believers. So second washing of the hands. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us regarding the washing of our hands. It reflects the need for spiritual renewal and cleanliness before partaking in the meal. Yeshua's continual cleansing power is emphasized as we are called to walk in purity. Step seven, motzi, blessing over the grain. So here we would lift the grain and recite the blessing over the bread. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Traditionally, this step recognizes the source of sustenance. And for Christians, it emphasizes that Yeshua is the bread of life who sustains us forever. Step number eight, very significant step. The matzah is eaten. So they would take a piece of matzah, and they would eat this. So blessed are you, our Lord, our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commandments and commanded us to eat matzah. Eating matzah, as we said, commemorates the haste that the children of Israel left Egypt. They left so fast that the bread didn't even have time to rise. So in Messianic believers, it's all of us Christians, reflect on Yeshua's sinless body, broken for us in redemption. Then you have marer. This is the bitter herbs. So you would take a piece of the bitter herb. Usually you'd take it on your matzah. And then sometimes you mix it together with a little bit of the harset, the mortar, the sweetness. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commandments, commanded us to eat bitter herbs. The bitterness reflects slavery, and then for Christians, it reminds us of Yeshua's suffering as he bore our sins on the cross. Step 10, then you make a matzah sandwich. It's called the Hillel sandwich. And so then you take a piece of matzah for your top piece, then you take the bottom piece, and you would scoop together the bitterness of horseradish and the sweetness of the harset, the Dutch apple pie. So this is the Hillel sandwich. Traditionally, it embodies the bitterness of slavery and the sweetness of redemption. For believers, it reminds us of Yeshua's suffering and the salvation that he brings. Then step number 11, which is the festive meal. And guys, this is a festive meal. This is why Passover, a Seder, is usually a three-hour tour. You're gonna have an appetizer. You're gonna probably have a salad. You'll have matzo ball soup. And then you have a huge, nice dinner, and you'll have dessert. So we went through that quickly, right? So that would be about an hour, hour and a half in a normal Seder service. Okay, so that is the festive meal. The meal celebrates freedom and God's provision. And during this time, Messianic families, it's all believers. Okay, so Christians that are doing Passover, we reflect on Christ's presence among us, symbolized by the breaking of bread during the Last Supper. Step number 12 in 13 are so significant, guys. Tsefun is literally the word that means hidden. Okay, so the matzah was hidden away. Remember that? They played hide and seek over there. The matzah was hidden away. But it's also significant because the eyes of the Jewish people are blinded. They're blinded and they don't see. It's like, how can you not see this, bro? How can you? It's everywhere. Christ is all through this. How can you not see this? And their eyes are blinded, but they're blinded temporarily. Okay, so we pray for our brothers and sisters that they will come to see Yeshua as our Passover lamb. So this step is so significant. The Afikoman, which literally, as you know, that's the one that we look forward to. That's the dessert. The Afikoman is, it's found, and each participant takes a piece of it. So Pastor Mark, if you'll come up here just a second. Yep.
I found it.
He found it. Yay. He found it. Oh, that was a lot of work, all that hide and seek, yeah? Looking all over for it. Okay, awesome. So we're gonna go down here, brother, for your ransom. And sorry, I didn't mean to chase you all the way up here. I'm gonna be here with Pastor Mark. So a ransom is paid. So come on and let okay, you're going to give this one to Pastor Mark, and you pinky promise you're going to share with your siblings.
Yeah.
Okay, give him a hand. So keep in mind that in a normal context, in a Seder supper, it was in a home. So you have one family, maybe two families, and the leader of the Seder would take this piece that was found, that was wrapped in linen, and he would take this afikoman and he would break this one right here and he would give it to every member, every guest. So this is afikoman. This is Christ. This is what we look forward to. You can't really do that for 300 people, but so you get the idea. So the guest, so the host, the leader, so Pastor Mark, he breaks that up, but each of the guests would receive that. And then the 13th step of the Seder. So this is probably the most significant. Step number four and step number 13 is so significant, you can't really understate it. But I want you to understand that it is because of a Hebrew worldview, because of understanding biblical Jewish culture, that we know exactly and with certainty that it was this cup. It was this cup exactly, and it was the afikoman. It was exactly this step right here in this cup that Jesus drank his disciples with. How do we know? We know because Paul said in 1 Corinthians, after the meal, then he broke the bread and then he drank the cup. This is the cup of redemption. So the third cup of wine, cup of redemption, is poured out after grace after the meal is recited. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And then the blessing over the wine is recited, and the third cup is consumed. While they recline on your pillow to the left. So just everybody lean to your left, to your neighbor. Isn't it nice to be royalty? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. So, guys, this, like I said, this step is so significant because afikoman was found. It's brought to the leader. A ransom is paid. Then they break it up, gives it to each guest at the meal, and it was exactly that third cup that Jesus drank and instituted the new covenant. Amen. Okay. Step number, the significance of that, obviously, is that the cup of redemption beautifully highlights God's promise to redeem his people. For believers in Christ, this is particularly moving as it reflects the redemption accomplished by Jesus' blood. So now we are looking for Elijah. Is Elijah here? Is Elijah anywhere in the house? Oh, we should open a door. Is Elijah here?
No, he's not here.
He's not here? Well, maybe next year Elijah will come. So it's a little confusing. So this is Elijah, Argandonia, I think if I got it right. And we're anticipating Elijah the prophet, okay? So a little confusing. So Elijah is expecting Elijah. You don't have to have a boy named Elijah, but it works great. So, maybe next year, and then the Hallel, the step of praise. So this one, guys, is significant because, as you remember, Jesus Christ said, he said, I will not drink of this cup until I drink with you in the kingdom. So a lot of Passover, sometimes Seder services, they will drink this cup, but we don't, and Jesus did it, okay? So, but what we do, we sing a praise. And we have a blessing, and then we're going to sing a praise and then close it out. So blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And normally, Christians would celebrate, Jewish families, celebrate God's deliverance through praise. And then Christians praise God not only for the Exodus, but also for the redemption that Jesus has brought to the world. Okay? So we've got a song. I want you to stand with me. If you're over 40, you might know this song. And this is really fun. It's a sort of Jewish feeling song. But it's in the presence of your people. I will praise your name, for alone you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Let us celebrate your goodness and your steadfast love. May your name be exalted here on earth and in heaven above. And you can feel free to clap with the song.
Father, we celebrate your goodness to us. Praise your name.
Of your people, I will praise your name. For alone you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Let us celebrate your goodness and your steadfast love. May your name be exalted here on earth and in heaven above. In the presence of your people, I will praise your name. For alone you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Let us celebrate your goodness and your steadfast love. May your name be exalted here on earth and in heaven above. In the presence of your people, I will praise your name. For alone you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Let us celebrate your goodness and your steadfast love. May your name be exalted here on earth and in heaven above. Hey! All right, you may be seated. The last one that we'll say together, closing out the Seder, is next year in Jerusalem. And as believers in Christ, we long to be together next year, not in Jerusalem, but in heaven. Amen? So say that with me. Next year in Jerusalem.
Next year in Jerusalem.
Hallelujah. Okay, the last thing I forgot, and I'm going to insert this real quickly, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Mark again. If you remember earlier, this was blue, and this middle one was blue, and this one was blue, okay? And I forgot. So this was blue, this was blue, this was blue. The significance of that, guys, is that these are the pilgrimage feasts. These are the feast that they had to go to Jerusalem, okay? But here's the symmetry and the precision of the Hebrew worldview. Look at this. Watch this, okay? It's symmetry. Blue, blue, blue. These are exactly the feasts that benefit us as believers. Someone said, well, Lauren, the feasts they're not really for us. They're not for us in the sense we don't have to do it, but they all benefit us. If you're a believer here tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a direct recipient and a beneficiary of the Passover. Amen? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you're a member of the church, which was formed at Pentecost. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Mark preached in Zechariah, all the nations of the world come together on Feast of Booths. Amen? Amen. Thank you guys so much. Hey, thank you, my brother. I love you.
It was great.
The Lord.
QR code there, I can scan it.
Okay, QR code you can scan. If you want to get all the notes, it's not up there, but it may be here in a moment. I don't know why it's not up there. If not, there you go. All right. Okay, guys. Of course, that was fantastic. There's so much. Imagine doing that. Again, it's a three-hour thing and all the symbolism. I thought it'd be so good just to have you see that perspective and see how God is built it in. It's such a wonderful thing. And now we're going to take time to take communion. And we're actually going to remember the body and the blood of the Lord. So what we're going to do is just real quickly, I want to say this before we even do it. Because again, this is something that is really special for the believer. If you're not a believer, it doesn't mean anything to you really in the sense that it may be a religious ritual. But if you know Jesus Christ, it's not just something we're doing. We're not just eating matzah and drinking the cup or bread in the cup. It is we're communing. We have a relationship with the Lord. And I love the fact they take that middle part, that afikoman right there in the middle, and they go and hide it and wrapped in linen. That is Jesus. He's not hidden from us. He's now been found. We know who our Messiah is. And here's the thing I want you to realize. Some of you tonight, if you don't know the Lord, that missing part is Jesus. That middle missing part right now, you're going, what's wrong in my heart? I don't have that joy that everybody had when they sang that song, when they clap. I'm missing something. There's an emptiness. You need to find that missing part. And that missing part is Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is as we do this right now, get ready for communion. You simply ask God to forgive you. Lord, forgive me of my sins. You confess. I am a sinner. Don't hide it. Be honest. Humble yourself. I am a sinner. I'm guilty before you. We've all done that in here that know Christ. And so we say, forgive us, Lord. We believe your blood washed away our sin. You're the Passover lamb. You died on a cross. And you're that missing part that I need in my life. And Lord, I give my life to you. Would you now fill my heart? If you do that, the Bible says you will be born again and you're going to have your place in the kingdom. And guys, any moment we could be suddenly in the kingdom around the wedding supper of the lamb doing this and much more. So we can just boom, be there. You want to be a part of that. You don't want to be left behind. For the rest of us, we're just going to thank the Lord and have time to get our hearts right and just really get right before the Lord. So here's how we're going to do this. There's a lot of people here tonight. And so we don't have a major traffic jam. We quit doing it the way we're doing it tonight because it was so hard with so many people. So we're going to do it in kind of an organized way. And that is that when I give you the go, the first row will go and come up and get your cup and your bread and sit back down. Then when they're done, second row, that's your cue. Then third row, that's your cue. Fourth row, that's your cue. And everybody stay seated. Move a row back at a time. That'll keep it from being too crowded. And so you come up and get it, go back and wait. We'll all do it together once you're done. So I'm going to pray now. And then I'll release you to do that. And we're just going to play some music in the background. And while you're waiting on your turn or after you sit back down, thank the Lord Meditate in your heart about sins you need to confess. If there's something you need to confess to the Lord, confess it and get it right. And then once you do that, begin to thank him. The fact that you can confess your sin, the fact that you can leave here tonight clean. You can leave here tonight clean. Leave here tonight clean. Don't leave with, ask God to forgive you. Believer that needs to deal with an issue or unbeliever who needs Christ for the first time. And then by the time we get to the back, everyone will have had time to meditate and to do that. And then we'll finish up the service. So let's go ahead and pray. And Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for tonight. We thank you, God, for just giving us such a vision of just what it is, Lord. The Seder meal, the Passover, you are Passover lamb. And seeing you, Lord, just so vividly revealed. God, again, truly, we can see how the veil is blinding the eyes of the Jewish people, because without a veil, there's no way you could miss this. And I thank you that you've lifted the veil from us. And I pray if there's anyone here tonight that right now, as we take this moment, Lord, believers first, would that we would get our hearts right and confess our sins. We have this time to meditate and to thank you for what you've done through your blood. But if there's anyone here tonight that has never made that decision, that Lord, right now, they would just confess their sin and receive you as their Lord and understand the Passover lamb on a personal level. So Lord, we give you all the glory. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.